Hi, gang. Bob Boving with you for the Mystery Project and the continuation of our East Coast series, Clean Sweep by Elk Silver. A newcomer to Member 2 County needs some help in the face of creeping vandalism. Bonnie Marston, with a sharp eye and ear for detail, has to make the connections. Come From Away is episode 14 of Clean Sweep, starring Deborah Allen and Richard Donat as Bonnie and Ben Marston.
Hello?
Darcy, it's Sharon. I hope I didn't wake you up. I should have called a little earlier, but I don't like to use the cell phone till I'm off the highway.
Oh, that's okay. I just got home from work. Anyway, you're wondering if I called my mom.
Yes.
I did, and she'll be at your place first thing tomorrow morning.
Oh, thank you. It seems ridiculous, me hiring a cleaning lady, but I just don't have it in me to waitress and temp and drive back and forth to the city and keep the floors clean.
Nobody does. Do you have a shift tomorrow night, or...
Sharon,
are you all right?
Yeah, I think I just blew out a tire. At least it was in my own driveway, so I can leave it till tomorrow morning. I'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks.
No problem. See you.
What? Bastards! Why can't you leave me alone?
I'm Bonnie Marston, Darcy's mom.
Hi. I'd shake hands, but I just finished changing a tire. Or I will have if I can get this bloody hubcap on.
Just hold it in place. There.
Thank you.
Oh, it's easy if you've got somebody to hold it.
No, Jane, look at that. I only called them at midnight, and here they are already.
Oh, 8 hours ain't bad. The Member 2 County Detachment isn't exactly overstaffed.
Mrs. Marsden, they didn't tell me you were on this case.
Huh?
Corporal Kowalczyk's from the prairies. They have a dry sense of humor. I'm just here doing my job.
So am I. Sharon Arneson?
That's right. I felt kind of embarrassed about calling last night, but it's been going on for so long. And last night, somebody planted a broken wine bottle in my driveway.
What?
Oh, it wasn't just lying there. It was embedded in the gravel with the jagged end pointed toward the road.
Did you...
I dug it up with gloves and put it in a plastic bag, or what was left of it. A lot of it's in my tire.
The report said you've been having a recurring problem with vandalism.
Oh, just idiotic stuff. 3 times in the last month, my garbage has been strewn around. I thought at first it was raccoons, so I set a rock I could barely lift on the garbage box lid. When I came home from work... The rock was sitting on my front step. No one's stolen anything or tried to break into the house yet. Just stupid vandalism.
Do you have any suspicions as to who it might be?
I haven't lived in Nova Scotia long enough to have made any enemies. The only thing I can think of is bored kids. The Boisverts down the road have a lot of raucous kids, but it could be any kids thinking it's fun to harass the weird woman who came from away. Isn't that what they call people like me around here? A come from away?
Me too. Have you considered getting a dog?
It wouldn't be fair, since I'm away at work so much of the time.
It might help to install motion-sensitive yard lights. They're not very expensive these days.
I think even kids could figure out I've got no neighbors to see whether my yard lights are on or off. The Boisverts live down at the turnoff, and my landlord, Vern Drummond... He lives in an old hunting cabin right at the end of the road. If I put in a burglar alarm, it would have to be an air raid siren for anyone to hear.
What I can do is make a point of detouring down Drummond Road whenever I'm in the area and instruct my constables to do the same. There's a good chance a periodic police presence will scare them off. In the meanwhile, don't be embarrassed about phoning in any further occurrences. Nice to see you again, Mrs. Marsden.
Well, I'd better show you the house. I have to be heading into the city pretty soon. It's kind of embarrassing.
Oh, I've seen lots worse, believe me.
The phone by the fridge is a speakerphone, so if you want to have a natter with somebody while you're washing the floor or something.
I don't think anybody'd want to hear what I have to say while I'm scrubbing floors.
Yeah, I can be frugal about just about anything, but I can't resist phone gadgets. Cell phones, speaker phones. You'd think I have 100 people to talk to.
So, Darcy tells me you're from Vancouver.
Oh, from all over the West. U of A, U of M, UBC, you name it.
You were teaching?
Oh, not hardly. Professional student. Oh, not in the sense that I got paid for it. Still paying off student loans. And this, you don't have to clean this room, okay? Just leave this door closed.
Okay.
It's my studio. One of the reasons I took this house was a big room with a southern exposure.
You paint?
Oh, not really.
Oh, I'd love to see your painting sometime.
Oh, they're not really for people to see, just OT.
OT?
Occupational therapy. Come on down the front stairs and I'll show you the rest of the house. Well, that's the house. I had a spare key made up.
Good. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Now, I just have to get my temp shoes and my waitress shoes in the same bag.
So, is that why you moved to Nova Scotia, to find new things to paint?
Oh, no, nothing like that. It was... Well, it wouldn't be worth telling except it's a funny story. I was managing a bookstore in Vancouver and living with a guy from out here. He didn't much like the West Coast, but...
He'd gone down the road.
That's right. Well, he finally got a job offer back home, and the plan was I was going to tie up loose ends in Vancouver and follow him here in a couple of months. But before he left, he suddenly got very serious and said not to come unless I was willing to make the big commitment and marry him.
Isn't it usually the other way around?
Oh, there's female Peter Pans, too. So I spent that couple of months wrestling with myself. You know, is this someone you can spend the rest of your life with, and... It's now or never and all that. So, finally, I decided, yes, I would. And when I got here, he changed his mind. Well, you gotta admit, it's a funny story.
So you're alone here most of the time?
All the time.
Yeah?
Vern? I'm Bonnie Marsden, Ben Marsden's wife.
Oh, Big Ben. Yeah, well, come on in. I just about got all the vapor barrier in, so if you stay out of that corner by the bed, you won't be breathing fiberglass pink. My old man never figured on anybody trying to live through the winter out here.
Well, it looks like you've been making it cozy.
Yeah, someplacial, eh? Ben get out yet?
Well, he's been out for a while now. It was only 6 weeks.
Only? Damn Mountie stealing 6 weeks of a man's life for having a pint of moonshine in his barn.
That wasn't the Mounties. That was the judge.
All six of one. Would you like a cup of tea?
Thanks, but I have to get home before Melissa gets home from school. I was just down here cleaning Sharon Arneson's house. Well, your house. And I was wondering if you knew Sharon's been having vandalism problems.
Vandalism? No, she never said a word. Well, I noticed once driving by her garbage was drug all over the yard, but I figured it was just the raccoons. Would have stopped and picked it up for her, but my back. Even if bloody workman's comp don't believe me.
Well, it wasn't raccoons.
Oh, must be kids then, thinking they're being funny. I'll try to keep an eye on the place as much as I can and see if I can spot anybody hanging around.
I'm sure she'll feel safer knowing you're looking out for her.
Hell, I'm looking out for myself, too. It's my house.
Well, I better get going. I'll tell Ben you said hello.
Kind of funny, don't you think? Woman alone, deciding to live in a big old house way out in the country?
I guess she's got her reasons. You'd think the police could do something.
Not much they can do. Except cruise by from time to time. This Sharon Arneson is just stuck with the same problem as anybody who figures what they want is a nice, peaceful life in an isolated country home. You're at the mercy of any idiot with a crowbar.
We don't have that problem.
We got a big dumb dog and near neighbors. We got a lot of friends around here. You ain't got those things, what are you going to do? Install surveillance cameras to record who's stealing your VCR? Well, at least I can drive down Drummond Road and check out the property whenever me and Clyde happen to be passing in that direction.
I'm home!
We heard. I'll fix you some peanut butter and jam. Anything interesting happen at school today?
Not at my school, but at the big school, Neil Boysberg got caught spray painting bad words about a teacher and got spelled for a week.
Expelled.
Whatever. Mandy says it's just a holiday for Neil Boysberg, because his parents don't give a shit.
Melissa!
Well, they don't.
Well, we do.
Honestly, Clyde, you must have a bladder the size of a basketball. That poor woman's going to think 15 dogs are walking around her bronc. Here you go now. You and me should be able to communicate better. What do they call it? Bonding? Now that we've both done time in the pound. Oh, I bet they said you better. Yeah, take it easy, Clyde. Just a kid walking on the road. Stay. Are you Neil Boysford?
What's it to you?
What are you doing on this road?
I live here, dipstick.
Well, not this far down the road you don't. Some gutless jerk's been pulling stupid little pranks on the lady that does. There's a garden she's getting ready for next year, and some idiot just dumped a bag of salt on it and left the empty bag there so she'd know. Any idea who that idiot might be?
The only idiot I know is standing in front of me.
Listen, you little shit.
Now, go ahead. Any adult lays a hand on me, we'll have the cops after him. And they can't do a damn thing to me until I turn 16.
There's nobody on this road right now except you and me. And there won't be if anything happens to that lady's place again. People that go sneaking around doing evil things to nice people and are too dumb to take a warning. The only thing to do with them is drop them off a bridge.
Well, what the hell does it matter to you what happens to her place? You screwing her or something?
A lot of bridges in Member 2 County. Yeah, Clyde, about all I can do, too, is bark.
Other students at the university said the only reason they could think of when the girls making up false stories in the salt was to get attention. And in the weather today, sunshine and excellent drying conditions.
I'm at Sharon Arneson.
You sound like you're in a cave.
It's this damn speakerphone. I can't get it to switch to normal.
Girl.
Could you get over here right away?
Les Bowlbitch.
Well, we know whoever it is can't spell. He must have used a ladder and half a can of spray paint.
It's my fault.
How's that?
I had a few words with a little twerp a couple of days ago. I guess instead of scaring him off, I just egged him on. I guess I'm going to have to drop him off the bridge.
Ben.
Yeah?
Do you think we could get it covered over before she gets home?
Well, the house paint's just standard charcoal gray. I got a can of that at home. If I slapped on a coat right away, I might get tacky enough to slap on another coat at the end of the day. The sun's going down by the time she gets home. She just might not notice.
I can give you a hand and go do Mrs. Parker's place between coats. I'll tell Sharon some excuse why I couldn't do her place till tomorrow.
But I got to take the car to Halifax tomorrow, you know, to tell the probation officer I've been a good boy. Well, I guess if we're going to get it done, we better get to doing it.
Hi, Bonnie. I didn't expect to see your car. I thought you'd be done by now.
So did I. I'm drinking some of your tea. I left some for you in the pot.
Sounds good.
I had some things I had to deal with at home, so I only got the upstairs done. I'll be back to finish up tomorrow. But I wanted to tell you before I head home. I saw them.
You saw whom?
Your pictures. Well, when I saw you'd left the door open to your studio, I guessed you'd decided you didn't mind if I looked. I don't know much about art, and I don't know what I like. But they're... The colors are just so...
Bonnie, I don't mind what you did, but... I didn't leave that door open.
Sheriff?
Oh, I didn't know you...
You can't just waltz in here.
My goddamn house. I lived here all my life.
Well, you don't live here now. A landlord can't walk in without permission or a written notice.
A written notice is what I come to deliver. If she can leave notes in my mailbox, I can leave her notes. Private road. Drummond Road. I had to pay to have it snowplowed all last winter since my father died. So I tells the woman, when the snow comes, I don't need to have it plowed all the way up to my shack. I'll park the truck where the road gets to the house and beat a path from there so you can pay for it. Now she leaves me a note telling me she talked to the Boysverts, and they agreed her and them and me should each pay a third. They agreed.
Well, that seems fair.
Fair? You want to tell me what's fair? Bloody workman's comp, calling me a liar. Give me no choice but to live at home, bumming cigarette money out of my mom and dad's can of the pension. Then my folks get killed in a car accident with no life insurance, so I'm living in a shack, and all I got to live on is the rent from this place, and the house my mother was born in gets... taken over by some friggin' lesbo bitch.
What did you say?
Well, she sure as hell ain't interested in men. Aw, hell, it's all crap anyway. Just don't go throwing this note away. She can't bullshit me, she never got it.
I'm having some difficulty reading you clearly, Mrs. Marsden. Your voice is distorting.
It's this damn speakerphone. I must be standing too close. Is that better?
Much.
What I was saying is that Vern said lesbo, just like it was spray-painted on her house.
People don't always spell the way they pronounce. Where I grew up, there was a street gang that called themselves the West End Rebels. Only everybody else called them the West End Revelous, because that's the way they wrote their graffiti.
Was that a joke?
Just a fact. I'm not dismissing your suspicions, but I'm having trouble seeing why Vern Drummond would want to drive out a tenant when he needs the rent income to live on.
Well, look at it this way. Vern wishes he could still live in this house. A single woman moves in, he thinks maybe he can have his cake and eat it too. Only she doesn't want any part of him. Every time he drives past the house, he gets reminded. When Vern wanted to write a note in her kitchen, he knew exactly which drawer to go to find a pen and paper. Didn't hesitate for a second. Well, he must be sneaking into the house when she's not there and going through her things.
She can certainly lodge a complaint through the landlord-tenant office.
But he's not just inconveniencing her. He's terrorizing her. And he goes further every time.
Someone is terrorizing her, Mrs. Marsden. That's all we know for certain. As I was saying, she can certainly lodge a civil complaint, but it might just egg him on.
So you do think it's him?
What you've told me does make him a solid suspect. But at the moment, I don't have enough evidence to even give him a warning.
You're sure it's all right?
Of course it's all right. That's why I offered. Just call ahead to make sure Jackie's home to let you in.
Thanks. I really appreciate this.
No problem. See you on Tuesday.
What was that about?
Oh, I told Sharon way back when that if there was ever a bad storm or something when she was in the city, she could stay at my place. She's on a late shift at the restaurant tonight, and the temp service offered her an inventory job first thing tomorrow morning at 1:30. I don't know whether she wanted the 1:30 more than an excuse because she's afraid to go home.
Damn it. She's got a right to live here if she wants to. Is this the first night she stayed over in the city instead of coming home?
As far as I know. Why?
Melissa's sleeping over at Mandy's, so there's no reason we couldn't...
Couldn't what?
I have to ask your father something. Ben?
Uh-huh. Yeah?
Are you up for taking a little run in the truck?
If the truck is, where?
We're getting close.
You shouldn't be doing this.
There's nothing to it, Ben. When we get to Sharon's house, you get out of the truck slowly so that me and Darcy can slip out the passenger door with no one seeing. Then you walk slowly to the front door to make sure it's locked. Me and Darcy sneaking in front of you. Even if Vern's watching the place, he won't see us in your shadow.
Might as well be behind a barn door.
Me and Darcy slip in the front door. You walk around the yard like you're checking things out and then drive away.
I should be doing this.
How would you sneak into the house? And if Vern did something to make you lose your temper, you just got out of jail, man.
Yeah.
Promise me you'll just get us into the house and then drive away and stay away.
Okay, I promise.
Are we there yet?
Yeah, we're there yet.
Let's go. What time is it? Almost 1 o'clock. I guess this wasn't such a good...
Then there's someone out there.
Where?
Oh, he's coming to the door.
Get down.
He's got a key. Why?
I don't know. Shh.
Huh?
Hello, Vern.
What the hell are you doing here?
Funny, I was going to ask you the same thing. You've got two witnesses, Vern. It's finished.
You friggin' bitches are all in it together.
Stay away from her. I've got a knife.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Mr. Drummond?
Huh? Who's that?
This is Corporal Kowalczyk of the RCMP.
Where are you?
About 2 minutes away and closing fast. This is what is called a speakerphone. Patched into my patrol car. I can hear everything you do or say as clearly as you can hear me, probably clearer. So the best thing for you to do, Mr. Drummond, would be to just sit tight until I get there.
And tell him to put down the knife.
Like hell.
Mr. Drummond, I am asking you to please listen very carefully. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Thank you. At present, you are probably guilty of several relatively minor offenses, which a judge will probably be lenient toward if you promise to cease and desist. If, however, you are not sitting there peacefully and unarmed when I arrive, or if any harm has been done to Mrs. Marsden or her daughter, I am going to put in practice a police force phrase that we rarely allow civilians to hear.
Huh?
The phrase is, I fired 26 warning shots into his chest. It's an old joke, Mr. Drummond, but I'm not joking.
The knife's on the table.
Keep your head down, Mr. Drummond. That's right. I have charge of the prisoner, Constable, so you can take Mrs. Marsden and Miss Marsden home in your vehicle.
Oh, I can call Ben to come get us, and I'll leave a note for Sharon to explain.
I think you and your family have already done more than enough for us and for Miss Arneson and Mrs. Marsden. There's no need for you to remain on the scene. But if you two could come in tomorrow to make a statement.
Of course.
Sure.
But I don't think it would be necessary, Mrs. Marsden, Miss Marsden, for your statements to refer to the phrase I used in speaking to Mr. Drummond.
I wasn't planning to.
What phrase?
Just a negotiating tactic, you understand.
I understand.
All right, Constable, take these good ladies home. Mr. Marsden? Mr. Marsden?
How did you know I was out there in the woods?
Well, you would be, wouldn't you? Although, I'd guess you were in close looking through the kitchen window from the time you saw the suspect enter until the time he put down his knife. Another 10 seconds, I bet you would have been through that door, like you were with Constable Johnson last fall.
I don't know. I didn't have a record then. Maybe I would have waited too long.
Well, lucky for all concerned, it wasn't necessary.
Look, I'd appreciate it if you didn't tell Barney. I'll tell her I went down to the fire hall for a beer on my way home. You see, I promised her.
I don't think she'd mind you breaking your promise under the circumstances.
And maybe not, if there'd been any need for me. But there wasn't, was there? Right, Corporal.
when we got home, Dad, was call Sharon and tell her. When I was saying goodbye and said, go back to sleep now, she said, I will, for the first time in a month.
That's good. You nailed him good.
Well, I'm not saying I wasn't scared. There really wasn't any reason to be.
No?
Well, I had that frying pan by my hand, and Darcy had her friggin' machete. What the heck are you doing carrying a buck knife around with you?
I'm a night shift waitress in Halifax.
Anyway, the fact is, Vern Drummond didn't break in there planning to hurt anybody.
No?
Well, not physically. That's why he broke in, instead of using his key. So it looked like... he planned to use his knife, all right. On her paintings. That would have just about finished her.
Yeah.
But once he was in there in front of us with that butcher knife and...
his eyes.
Well, I was sure glad when Corporal Kowalczyk came in over the speakerphone.
You're telling me.
Well, you two must be tired. I'm glad you both come home safe.
You've been listening to Come From Away, the latest episode of Clean Sweep by Elf Silver, winner this year of the Thomas Riddell Award for Fiction. It's the preeminent literary medal on the Atlantic coast. In the cast today, Deborah Allen was Bonnie, Richard Donat was Ben, Jennifer Overton was Sharon, Mike Pellerin was Corporal Kowalczyk, Ashley Swain was Melissa, Jean-Pierre Steele was Darcy, Stan Carew was Vern, Andrew Bigelow was Neil, and George Jordan was the radio announcer. The music was composed by Scott McMillan and David McIsaac. The performance featured Gordon Stovey, Jamie Gatti, and Andre Lacroix, together with the two composers. Special guest artist was J.P. Cormier on banjo and fiddle. The recording engineer was Pat Martin, with sound effects by Dermot Kenny. The associate producer was Peggy Hensworth. Casting by John Dunsworth and Alex Duncan. The program was produced and directed in Halifax by Bill Howell, the executive producer of The Mystery Project. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments.